This is a Baptist church, and we know what Baptists like, so we have free handouts in the back. Yes. We're independent, but we ain't crazy. Yeah. If it's free, we'll take it. All right. We'll open our Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4. While you're finding 1 Timothy 4, I'll read you something here. It's been in the news the last week or so. It's the Pope Benedict the 16th has reasserted the universal primacy of the Roman Catholic Church. Now you say that and nobody knows what you're talking about. Let me explain it. It goes on further. Approving a document released Tuesday that says Orthodox churches were defective and that other Christian denominations were not true churches. It works like this. You have to be in the church to be saved, and the only church you can be in to be saved is the Roman Catholic Church. Now, when we started our teaching on the cults, we went over the marks of what all the cults had in common, and one of those things is if you're not a member of that specific cult, you can't be saved outside of that. See? And that's what Rome teaches. That's what the Pope teaches. Unless you're a Catholic, you can't be saved. See, we would never teach that unless you were a Baptist, you couldn't be saved. Amen. Jesus Christ saves you. Not the Baptist Church, not the Catholic Church, not the Methodist Church, not Jehovah Witness. No, listen, it's Jesus Christ that's the Savior, not the Church. Amen. And so I can't stand anyone that tries to say that there's some other way of salvation other than through Jesus Christ. They're a liar. They've attacked the gospel, and we're told to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints and be good soldiers of Jesus Christ and endure hardness. And it comes down to this. You're wrong, and God's right when it comes to that stuff. Amen. All right, here in 1 Timothy chapter 4, as we've been doing our series on the cults, and this is the last cult we're going to look at, and this is what I've termed this the last days cult. And so if you look there in verse 1, we'll see why that is. 1 Timothy 4, 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, so this is the last days cult, the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And we went over that and showed that's not Roman Catholicism. Roman Catholicism can't depart from the faith. Why? They're not in. You can't depart from something you're not in. It's real simple. But there are going to be those that are saved that are going to depart from the faith. That's true, right? When was that going to happen? Okay. Verse 2, speaking lies and hypocrisy and having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Forbidding to marry. All right, so what are these doctrines of devils? One of them is forbidding to marry. We went over all that last week. And then secondly, the second doctrine, commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. And Brother Wes, if you ask the Lord to bless the Sunday school hour, please. Amen. Amen. Commanding to abstain from meats. What are meats? Well, sometimes meat is meat. That's meat. Look at verse 4. For every creature of God is good. Armadillo, possum, ostrich. And nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. Amen. So, nothing wrong with eating armadillo as long as you pray over it first. But it's scraping it off the road is the hard part. That's the... Now, every creature, see, so the context here, obviously meat's having to do with that, but meats in the Bible can also mean, listen, any food. Any food. Look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Holding your place there, please, in 1 Timothy 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Anybody too hot this morning? Anybody too cold? Getting too cold? Getting too cold? No? We're just right? Yeah, we'll see if we can get it heated up here. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 13. Meats for the belly. What goes in your belly? Meats. Meats means food. See? Meats for the belly and the belly for... What's your belly for? Meats. But God shall destroy both it and them. Oh, good news. Your belly's not going to last forever. Amen. But the idea there is, what is meat? It's food. Look back in Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. We'll pick it up in verse 29. Genesis 1:29. Genesis 1 and verse 29. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. Adam and Eve were vegetarians. Adam and Eve did not eat meat. Say why? Because nothing ever died. Before Adam and Eve fell, before Adam and Eve partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and disobeyed God, listen, they were perfect, they were sinless, they had eternal life, and so did everything around them. No animals died. Animals die because of the fall. We die because of the fall. Before that, there was no death. So instead of eating animals, what would they eat? Herbs and fruit. Amen. And those herbs and the fruit was what? It shall be for what? Meat. They didn't eat meat. What was their meat? Fruits and herbs. Amen. Herbs, wheat, barley, anything, I guess. Any vegetation you want to stick in your mouth. See? Look over in chapter 9. Genesis 9, verse 3. Now watch what God tells Noah. Verse 3. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things. Now, after the fall, you'll notice here, and after the flood, God tells Noah, Noah, you can eat what? Yeah, anything. You can still eat the fruit of the trees, you can still eat the herb of the field, but now you can eat anything that moves. You can eat it. You can kill it, and you can eat it. Right? It was meat. Look back in chapter 2, Genesis 2, verse 9. Now out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for, what? Food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Amen. And so they had all that food available to them, and all of that food was meat. You understand that? Look over in Leviticus chapter 2. Let me show you. Leviticus 2. Verse 1. Leviticus 2 and verse 1. And when any will offer a, what? Meat offering unto the Lord, his offering shall be a fine flour. Well, that's not meat, is it? It sure is. It's food. In the Bible, all food is meat. He shall pour oil upon it, and put frankincense therein. He shall bring it to Aaron's sons, the priests, and they shall take thereout his handful of the flour thereof, and of the oil thereof, with all the frankincense thereof, and the priest shall burn the memorial upon the altar to be an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. And the remnant of the meat offering shall be Aaron's and his sons. It is the thing most holy of the offerings of the Lord made by fire. What was the meat offering made out of? Flour and oil. You know, oil, fat. And, you know, flour. You know, bread. You know, all the stuff that's bad for you? Supposedly. Now, who was it that told you all that stuff was bad for you? Just curious if you know who it is. Is it the same people that teach that evolution's true? Well, do you believe them? In regards to that, then why would you believe him in regards to the rest of it? And yet a lot of Christians do, unfortunately. Now listen, there was some confusion last week. Let me reiterate. I am not going to tell you what to eat and what not to eat. That is not the purpose of a pulpit. And whenever anybody gets up behind a pulpit and says, eat this or don't eat this, unless it's according to the Scripture, according to the Bible, it's a doctrine of devils. Now look with me in Acts chapter 15. I'm going to give you from the Bible what it is that you shouldn't eat as a Christian. Acts chapter 15. Acts 15, look with me in verse 28. Acts 15, 28. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that ye abstain from meats offered to idols. Okay. What's the food you can't eat? If it's been offered to an idol, don't eat it. And from what? Blood. And from things strangled. And from fornication. For which if you keep yourselves, you shall do well, fare ye well. Listen, that is all that the Bible has as far as restrictions for the child of God when it comes to what you can eat. That's it. So for me to teach anything further than that is against the doctrines of Jesus Christ. If I was to get up here and say a good Christian wouldn't eat. Now, some of you, honestly, if you could fill in the blank with that, what would you put in there? Now, listen, if it's anything other than what's on that list, that's a doctrine of devils. A good Christian wouldn't eat salt. A good Christian wouldn't eat flour. Yeah, a good Christian wouldn't eat donuts. A good policeman would, but a good Christian would. Okay. What would you put in that blank? Whatever it is, it's a doctrine of devils. Listen, I'm not telling you that you can't go on a diet. All right? If you want to go on a diet, go on a diet. If you don't want to go on a diet, don't go on a diet. You can do what you want. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it good to have liberty? What if we got to the point where we actually started judging one another based on what we ate or didn't eat? Now that's what's going to happen. That's what's going on. It's just getting started. I'm telling you. It's just getting started. You go into the Christian bookstores now, and you got all kinds of books on nutrition. I'm warning you what's coming. All right? The Bible already told you what was going to happen. He said in the latter days, they'd get to the point where they would command to abstain from, I mean, especially, you know, red meat. You couldn't be saved and eat red meat. I mean, that's bad for your heart, and your body's the temple of the Holy Ghost. That's sin! No, that's a doctrine of devils. You better get it straight. But see, preacher, I disagree with you. I think it's, I don't think I want to eat. Then don't! Do you understand? You don't have to eat anything you don't want to eat. But man, when you get up and you start preaching or teaching or you start passing around pamphlets in here of if someone's really saved, they're not going to eat this or not, you're wrong. Amen. Amen. He that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. Amen. Okay. So, just that's the idea and all that. I want you to keep your balance in all of this. Amen. You don't want to attack a Christian who believes that it's wrong to eat meat. They have a perfect right to believe that for themselves. The problem is when they want to put that on another Christian, or when they, in their heart, and God knows, decide that that other Christian's not as good a Christian as them or as spiritual as them because of what they eat. Look in Romans chapter 14 and verse 17. Romans 14 and verse 17, for the kingdom of God is what? Listen, kingdom of God is spiritual. It's not physical. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It has nothing to do with that stuff at all. Amen? Nothing at all. So why should it even be brought up from a pulpit? Come on. See? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians 8. Verse 1. Now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. Especially back in those days, because a lot of what they were eating was food that was offered in temples to idols. It's going to probably pick up again real big in the tribulation as well. That's what they're getting everybody prepared for with all this stuff. Get you concentrating on what it is you're eating. Do you realize that it's only been in the last 40 years or 30 years that they even started putting nutrition labels on things? How did people live for 6,000 years without all that information? Now you have more to be worried about. Now you have more to fear. Be afraid. Be very, oh, I ate such and such, but I felt so guilty. Well, somebody's accomplishing their purpose then. They're getting you feeling guilty about that stuff. But then you don't start feeling guilty about the things you're supposed to be guilty about according to the Bible. Do you understand the doctrine of devils and how subtle the devil works? He's tricky, man. He's tricky. Now, 1 Corinthians 8, verse 2, if any man think that he hath knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. We covered all this in our study there in 1 Corinthians. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven and earth, there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father of all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Howbeit, there is not in every man that knowledge. Now, real simple. If you're a mature Christian, you understand that if somebody's offering some food on an idol, you know what he's offered it unto? No, nothing. Because we know an idol is what? So if we eat it, how's it going to hurt us? It's not. So we can eat it. But it's not about us. It's about who are we going to offend. See, in that case. So, yes, we have liberty to eat what we want, but at the same time, not if it's going to offend a weaker brother. So who's the weaker brother? The one that's worried about eating certain things. Right? A weaker brother is concerned about certain things that he shouldn't be eating or eating. And that's fine. And we're not to offend that weaker brother. We're to receive him. Amen. But not to doubtful disputations. Okay? Not receive him and then let him teach everybody that they're sinning if they eat meat. You follow me? Right? But receive him nonetheless. Okay? And then as he grows and becomes stronger in the Lord, his conscience will be strengthened, and he'll understand that his conscience was already messed up. It was defiled. But now it's getting straightened out with the Word of God, so now he's going to start seeing what really is right and what really is wrong, and his conscience will match the conscience of God. See? So many times when that word conscience shows up in the Bible, you'd be surprised how many times it's talking about what you eat. You know how we got messed up? By what Adam and Eve put in their mouth. You know what they put in their mouth? From where? A tree of what? You know what a conscience is? See, he's telling you in 1 Timothy 4 about their conscience being seared with a hot iron. And it has to do with what you put in your mouth and what you don't. All right, 1 Corinthians 8, verse 7. Howbeit, there's not in every man that knowledge. For some, with conscience of the idol unto this hour, eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. But meat commendeth us not to God. For if we eat, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. So what does that mean? It doesn't matter what you eat when it comes to pleasing God. Amen. But listen, if I had a fellow Christian over my house, and I knew that they thought it was wrong to eat pork, I wouldn't invite him in the house and serve ham. Now, don't I have liberty to do that? Sure, but I'm not going to purposely, you with me, offend a brother or sister in Christ. I'm going to receive them and pray for them and hope that they grow where their conscience will be strengthened and that stuff won't bother them anymore. You're going to have to get used to that more and more, because more and more people that you're going to see that are going to get saved and come into a church are going to have those things in their background. Vegetarianism and, you know, all the health, not wealth, healthy, wealthy, wise, wellness, you know, all that stuff that's being pumped into them out there, they're coming in here, and all that stuff's still there. And it's going to take a while for all that stuff to get kind of sifted out and worked through. So we need to love them and be patient and help them. Look with me in Colossians chapter 2. We don't need to condemn them, but help them to grow. And listen, if we don't, you know what will happen to them eventually? They'll get caught up in this thing. They'll end up being deceived, and there'll be some of those that depart from the faith.
Right.
Amen. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 20. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances after the commandments and doctrines of men? Notice I skipped the parentheses to give you the sentence first. Now go back and notice what's placed in parentheses within that sentence. Are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not. What are the ordinances? What are the ordinances of the world? Touch not. Taste not. Taste not. Taste not. Handle not. Which all are to perish with the using. He ate animal fat. You're going to die. Guess what? So are you. Who isn't? But you know, I heard if I do all these things and if I spend $153 a month on supplements, that I could live another 3 days. Eat what you want. Buy what vitamins you want. I don't care. We okay? I'm just telling you, you don't use that stuff to judge someone else when it comes to spirituality, because the strong Christian is the one that has such faith in God that he could eat just about anything, because all he knows he has to do is pray over it and God blessed it, praise the Lord, and eat it. And he isn't the one that's going to have the ulcers. It's going to be you, the one that's worrying about everything all the time. That's what they're doing out there in the world. They're getting everybody worried about everything except what they need to be worried about. Get afraid of everything except what they need to be afraid of, God. Instead of fearing God, they're fearing cholesterol. And so there's nothing spiritual, is what I want you to understand, about any of this. And so here's the question, then. Here's the point. What is all this stuff about Christian diets? Listen, you want to go on a diet, help yourself. All kinds of them out there, man. You'll find one that works. You know, I found one that works real good. It's called Don't Eat. It works. I guarantee it. I ought to sell a book. Because it's fail-proof. It's guaranteed to help you lose weight. You mean fasting? No. Fasting is when you don't eat for a purpose. Not eating to lose weight is not eating to lose weight. That's dieting. That's the difference there. Amen. If you go on a diet, whatever diet you want to go on, and you lose weight, wonderful. Praise the Lord. But that's not going to get you proud, is it? I mean, you don't think this is actually you, do you? I thought you were saved. You know better than that then, don't you? This thing right here is not you. You know that, right? It's just a tabernacle that you're walking around in. The sooner you get a hold of that, the better off you're going to be in your Christian life. Because otherwise, this part of you is going to get you in trouble. A lot. All right. Where are we at? I have no idea. Oh, yeah, Christian diets. Thank you, brother. How many of you have heard of the Hallelujah diet? Raise your hand. Honestly, have you heard of it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. The Hallelujah diet? Yeah. I think that's the one where, don't you eat like a bunch of algae or something, or barley? You get all this barley, eat barley like 10 times a day? Or yeah. Well, it's the herb of the field. See, it's much better for you than meat. Scripture? Wait, Scripture? Show me one scripture in the Bible that says eating barley is better for you than meat. I mean, if you're going to call it a Christian diet, give me some scripture. That's all I'm asking. It's not asking for too much, is it? You know, the Maker's diet. You go on that internet and put in Christian diets and watch what happens. I did it. You know what I pulled up? 1.5 million websites. Now, some of those might have been a repeat, I understand, but still. All those Christian diets, and yet there's no such thing as a Christian diet? What do you suppose is behind all that? 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil. You know what that's about? We have a Christian diet for you, buy our barley. We have a Christian diet for you, buy our Ezekiel bread. How many of you have ever had Ezekiel bread? Raise your hand. My God. I hope it really wasn't Ezekiel bread. Look with me in Ezekiel chapter 4. You really want to eat Ezekiel bread, do you? Then it wasn't Ezekiel bread. It was somebody making a buck. Are we okay? Right? Why else call it Ezekiel bread? Well, because then you'll get all the Christian suckers. Ezekiel chapter 4. We're having a good time this morning. Amen. Verse 9. Ezekiel 4 and verse 9. Take thou also unto thee wheat and barley and beans and lentils and millet and fitches. Well, love them fitches and millet. That's what a bird eats, man. Go ahead and eat it, though. Eat what you want. Put them in one vessel and make thee bread thereof, according to the number of the days that thou shalt lie upon thy side, 390 days shalt thou eat thereof. Man, our soul loatheth this light bread. I mean, you think of in the manna, at least the manna had a good taste to it, I'm sure. The Bible said it was like wafers and honey. This stuff here. And he had to eat nothing but that for 390 days straight, laying on his side. Is that how you ate it? Then why would you call it Ezekiel bread? Verse 10, and thy meat which thou shalt eat, it's meat. Huh? Thy meat which thou shalt eat shall be by weight, 20 shekels a day. From time to time shalt thou eat it. Thou shalt drink also water by measure. The sixth part of an hin from time to time shalt thou drink. And thou shalt eat it as barley cakes. And thou shalt bake it. With dung that cometh out of a man in their sight. Listen, you want Ezekiel bread? Help yourself? No, thank you. Unclean, unclean. Say, so, yeah, but Ezekiel, he told that to God, and God let him use cow's dung and said, okay, so you did use cow's dung. Now look back with me in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Get some sense in all this stuff here. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Listen, they know what is the things that motivate people. One of the things that motivates people is what? Fear. See? We can help you not be afraid of dying or getting sick or losing your health. Come buy our stuff. Man, that line works. It's called the snake oil salesman. It's been going on for forever. And it still works today, especially on Christians. Say, why? Well, if you were a salesman and you see all these people sending in money for a piece of the cross of Jesus, then you probably figure you got a good market. All right. 1 Timothy 4, verse 4, for every creature of God is good. Y'all getting hungry yet? Nothing to be refused if there is a stipulation. If it be received with thanksgiving. Has God blessed America or what? For a country to actually be called the breadbasket of the world? God has blessed America. You can all leave here after church today and fill your belly on just about anything you want. Am I right? And enjoy it. And why do you think Americans are so worried about diets and everything else? What's the problem? We're blessed, man. We are. We are blessed with so much. But if we're not careful, we'll forget the most important thing is just to be thankful for the blessings. See, you know what? You get that all the way through the Bible. What happened? The people were struggling. People were having... God came in and God blessed them. And then they had the blessings of God, and then what happened? They waxed fat, and their heart became hard. And then they had to go back into bondage again. You understand? Why? What happened if God had blessed them and they had just been thankful for the blessings? See? They could have stayed there. But that's the problem. When you get rich, when you get blessed, when you have all that, it's easy to become unthankful. It's just human nature. But we need to be thankful. That's an important thing. God truly has blessed us. I mean, you look at somebody like Michael Jackson with all the millions of dollars. You know he's a vegetarian? Do you realize that even though Michael Jackson has millions of dollars, when I leave church today, if I want, I can go down and get me a quarter pounder with cheese and have a great time. And he can't experience that pleasure, even though he has millions of dollars. Now, who's really rich? Godliness with contentment is great gain. I'm rich. All right, so we need to be thankful for that which the Lord has blessed us with and given us. Look with in Matthew chapter... No, wait a minute. Look back there in verse 6. Verse 6, I'm sorry. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things... Is that what I've been doing? Okay. Thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Amen. Nourished up in kelp and broccoli and cauliflower. No, let me try that again. Nourished up in whey and barley and alfalfa sprouts. No. Nourished up in the words on the side of the box nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. Matthew chapter 4. If you had to be honest in the sight of God, have you spent more time in the last week reading the nutrition labels on your food or reading the Word of God? That would mean that you've gotten slightly off balance. Amen, sister? Yeah. All right. Because we're so blessed. We've got so much. Amen. Look at Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." Hope you have a King James Bible. Hate for you to miss the second half of this verse, because it's not in the other Bibles. You know what? We don't live by bread alone. What do we live by? Every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Have you gotten your nourishment yet today? How often do you eat the Bible? Does it concern you that you're getting enough nutrition? You with me? You know what God's emphasis is? You know what a Christian's emphasis is supposed to be on? Have you gotten enough nourishment? What is our nourishment? It's the Word of God. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that we may grow thereby. What's our nourishment as Christians? It's the Word of God. The Word of God is said to be milk for the baby Christian to help them to grow healthy and strong. The Word of God is like apples, the Bible says. Honey, bread, meat. All those things are likened to the Bible. It's the picture is food. And the food that us as Christians need to be concerned about and making sure we're getting the right food is the Word of God. And yet there's so many Christians today, they got an NIV or a Holman, and they could care less what they're putting in their mouth. But they'll be worried about getting too many fat in their diet. That's a doctrine of devils! There's the problem right there. You've become more concerned with the physical food that you're putting in your mouth than the spiritual food that God has given us as the children of God to eat and partake of. Amen. You're not even worried that you're gonna eat some leavened bread. See? Those priests in the tabernacle had to be unleavened bread. God wanted those priests concerned with what they put in their mouth. But that bread is a picture of what? The book. Are you concerned making sure there's no leaven in it? No corruption in it? Well, ought to be. We need to make sure we're taking in the pure words of God into our mouth and down into our heart where we can grow thereby. Now, let me show you something in the Bible just to upset you before we end today. Genesis chapter 18. I want you to look at the first time God ever eats in the Bible. God eats in the Bible. Genesis chapter 18, verse 1. And the Lord appeared unto him. Who appeared? All right. In the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent during the heat of his day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. You know what one of those men is? It's the Lord. The other two are angels that are going to go down to Sodom. See? Verse 2, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, "My Lord, if now I have found grace in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray ye, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort your hearts. After that ye shall pass on, for therefore ye come to your servant." And they said, "So do as thou hast said." And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly three measures of fine meal." White flour. That can't be any good. Knead it. Make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf. That's a baby cow. Amen. And fetch a calf. Tender. And good. And what? Good. Who said that? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit said that that beef was tender and good. Are you a Bible believer? Then none of this should be offending you, I wouldn't think. I wouldn't want to offend you. I'm just trying to help you. I'm trying to get your eyes open so you kind of see what's going on here. Verse 7, and Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took, oh no. Butter and milk. And listen, that milk wasn't even homogenized. And the calf, which he had dressed, and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they, who's that? Did eat. First time God ever eats in the Bible. You know what he ate? Fried veal, man. Chicken fried veal with gravy from milk and butter and biscuits. Yeah, I don't know if this worked out right here. I might have should have saved this one for this evening. See? Yeah, I'm trying to get you to understand there. See? Here's the Father, that picture of God the Father, the prodigal son. The prodigal son returns. The Father says, let's celebrate. What does he do? He kills the fatted calf, and they all eat together. Fellowship. They sit down and dine with meat from a cow. You understand what's happened in America is they've been sterilized. They grow up in a plastic asphalt society. The majority of Americans know nothing about what a slaughterhouse is or how it is they even get their food. And then you got all these pita brains running around. You know, out there, oh, they're mistreating the chickens. I don't even know what to say to that. You know, it's just, that's like, could you imagine if that was what your life was? Romans chapter 2. So here's the question. Why then, when God called out the children of Israel, those Jews, did God give dietary restrictions to his people? Huh? Because listen, if he had never done that, a lot of this stuff wouldn't exist today. A lot of people think, well, God gave them those dietary restrictions because God was trying to help them be healthy and live longer. No, that's not what it was about at all. See? You know what the purpose of all that law was? Look in Romans 2, verse 15. Which show the work, talking about the Gentiles, verse 14, which show the work of the law written in their hearts. Their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. How were the Gentiles judged in the Old Testament? By the written law? No, by what? Their conscience. That law was the Jews' conscience. Listen, that's why you don't find the word conscience in the Old Testament. You only find it in the New Testament. They didn't have a right to have a conscience. God told them what their conscience would be. Huh? How many of you, honestly, if I offered it to you free right now, would come and partake of Fifi today? We're going to have fried poodle for lunch. Honestly, it's free. It's not going to cost you anything. How many of you would like to come and eat it? Raise your hand. That little boy there. He said free, that's good enough for me. Amen. Huh? No, you wouldn't. Why? It's okay to do it. You know what it is? It's your conscience. Your conscience says, ew. Do you understand? God was the conscience for those Jews. So when the Jews looked at a pig, they saw it like you see a dog. You understand? And they said, ew, unclean. Right? Just like you do certain things. Anybody had fried lizard lately? Roasted bat wing. Well, come on, there's nothing wrong with it. Why haven't you eaten it? You understand? Because you have a conscience, and your conscience says, that's, no, I ain't going there. That's unclean. Amen? I know some people now, they can eat escargot, and some people can't. You know what it is? It's just the difference in your conscience. Let me say snail? Sure. Yeah. Others say snail? No, thank you. See? All that, it's the conscience. So when that Jew looked at that pig, he looked at it like you look at a dog, and he said, no, that's unclean. I'm not eating that pig. But we, man, I look at a pig, I see pork chop, ham, bacon, sausage. That's what I see. Doesn't affect my conscience one bit. Amen. So that whole thing of the dietary laws in the Old Testament, it had nothing to do with if they would live longer or not. You think the Jews live longer than other people? Huh? And if they did, it wouldn't be for those reasons. We'll get into that as we continue our study next week. All right, let's go ahead and stand for prayer, and we'll close for the day. Brother Henry, close this in prayer, please.